Hello, everyone. We're so glad to be with you today.
Yes. We have a special session of the Life School today, and it's one that gives us an opportunity to look deeply at our lives in the Earth School, what we're here for, and how we can use our lives.
Indeed.
This session of the Life School, we will look at the life of Robin Williams, the personality of Robin Williams, what we experienced by being in the Earth School with this personality, and what we experienced when the soul of this personality decided to return home.
Yes, indeed. I'm really looking forward to this. We want to always be able to talk about things that are most current and most supportive when the time arises that we would do that. And this was a time that we felt we wanted to really speak about Robin's life and how it affected us and how it's affecting us now.
So this Life School session will focus on Robin Williams, and more specifically on our experiences of Robin Williams. As you all know, this remarkable person, a superstar in so many ways, a comedian unlike almost any other that the world has seen, an actor, a sensitive person, took his life, and the world now is experiencing a reaction to that. Now, perhaps you're experiencing a reaction to that too. And that's what we're going to explore, your reactions, your internal experiences, and we're going to use the life of Robin Williams as a focus for that. Now, if we were five sensory, we would be looking at our interactions with Robin Williams, almost all of us through his appearances on television and the movies, through a logic and understanding that originates in the mind, because that's how five sensory individuals think about things, and that's how they put them together intellectually. But we are not five sensory. We are multi-sensory. Everyone who's listening to this program knows that he or she is more than a mind and a body. You know that your life is not merely random. You know that your life is an opportunity to grow spiritually. And what does that mean? It means to look at your internal landscape as though you were a gardener and decide what you want growing in there. Do you want roses? Do you want lotuses? Do you want peonies? Do you want tulips? Do you want thistles? Do you want poison ivy and poison oak? It's up to you. Because your life in the Earth School is one of a gardener. And to create authentic power requires looking at your garden continually and weeding out those plants that you don't want there, the poison ivy, the poison oak. And these are the parts of your personality that cause you pain and that create destructive consequences for you when you act on them.
I noticed, beloved, when I first heard the news about Robin, I had frightened parts of my personality come up, excuse me, that didn't want to believe it. So I think that's probably a good example of, excuse me, a frightened part of my personality coming up that I couldn't do anything about. And
there.
It was
a part of your personality that had a fear of loss, and that cough is partly a residue of what you've been experiencing physically, but it also is a symptom in your fifth chakra, your center of communication, about your ability to communicate about these things.
Mm-hmm.
Robin Williams was a favorite of ours too. So we're going to look at his life, and through your experiences and our experiences, and using the higher order of logic and understanding that originates in the heart. This is the logic and understanding of a multisensory species. It is the logic and understanding that comes with awareness of ourselves as souls as well as personalities, that comes with our awareness of our world as a school, as the Earth School, in which we are continually presented opportunities to create authentic power. It is the logic and understanding that comes with the perception of power as the alignment of the personality with the soul, and not as the ability to manipulate and to control external circumstances, including people. So from that perspective, in that context, let's see what we can learn from our experiences with, even if they were vicarious, even if they were through his films and through his television appearances, what we can learn about ourselves from this remarkable fellow soul who was with us in the Earth School for a while. Robin Williams was not only one of my favorites, but I was also very interested in how he did what he did. Of course, everyone could see that there was an aptitude for comedic genius, just as you may have an aptitude for raising children or building houses or working with your hands or creating thesis or going to school or teaching. It was very clear that his genius lay in comedy, and also that he was a remarkable actor and a very sensitive actor. He said that he discovered early that there were parts of his personality that were less inhibited than who he was, and that by stepping into those parts, he could express himself in ways that he could not have otherwise. You can see him do this again and again in every interview. He'll step into a part of his personality, and suddenly, he's in another persona. He's in another intelligence, another brilliance, another way of looking at things. The one thing that I noticed about Robin Williams is that as he explored these different parts of his personality and used them to entertain people, he did it with a good heart. Mm-hmm. I never saw him, at least professionally, mean-spirited. And as I read about him, I never heard anybody who knew him talk about him in that way. Instead, they talked about a certain vulnerability in him, or a meekness, or a mildness, or a presence, which is very different from the Mork, as in Mork and Mindy, when Robin Williams completely surprised us with his way of looking at things that was so out of the box. When, for example, Mindy would ask Mork, who was a visitor from another planet, to sit down, Robin Williams, playing that character, would stand on his head. She said, why are you doing that? Why are you putting your face downward? And Mork, the character, said, well, if God hadn't meant me to sit on my face, he wouldn't have given me one. Mm-hmm. Well, this is such an unusual way of thinking that shows us how limited and unconscious our perceptions of our rationalizations for what we do are. And Robin Williams was able to access these by accessing consciously different parts of his personality. However, it was interesting that he said that these parts of his personality allowed him to express himself with less inhibition than he could have otherwise. Mm-hmm. So is it possible that Robin Williams never recognized the part of his personality that he thought was not expressive as anything other than who he really was, and that his exploration with parts of his personality that he could recognize was a way of going beyond that part of his personality? Maybe he thought that part of his personality was something that he couldn't change. Mm-hmm. Or do you think that his choosing these funny, sometimes zany parts of his personality was his way of challenging a part of himself that he felt was inadequate to express itself in ways that could amuse and entertain people? That's something we don't know. But you can ask yourself that question.
I think that's a really interesting question to explore, beloved. Definitely, because if I feel I am a certain way and I have to reach for something else inside of me to act, in other words, to act, to be different than I am, but really who I am is reserved and shy or inadequate. I mean, I think that's the question that
Precisely.
We're asking. Is that something that you do? Is that something where you think you're a certain way and that you can't change that, but you can act in other ways that cover up that?
And in fact, you are learning how to behave with love rather than to behave with fear, learning how to act with love instead of act with fear. But your reason for doing that specifically is to move beyond the control of those parts of your personality that are in fear. So the question I was posing is, do you think that that's what Robin Williams was doing personally? Or do you think that he was using these other parts of his personality? And he was quite fluid in moving in and out of them. You can see this in many of his interviews. We just saw a beautiful one by Charlie Rose, by the way, which we refer you to. Or do you think that he was using this fluid ability to move into other parts of his personality as a way of escaping the limitations of that part of his personality, and that was a part of his personality that he perceived himself to actually be? Now, I have no way of knowing, but my thought is that he wasn't looking at these different parts of his personality in the same way that he was looking at the part of his personality that he sought to move out of by the use of these different aspects. Why do I say that? Because he took his life. Because we know from those who loved him and lived with him closely that he was experiencing the pain of depression. From my experience with depression, I can share with you that that pain is deep and indescribable. It's a pain that can't be articulated. However, that is from the perspective of the person who is depressed. From the person who is multisensory, that pain actually can be described, and that's where emotional awareness comes in. But I didn't have emotional awareness when I was depressed.
So you didn't know that it was a frightened part of your personality then?
No, I was depressed. I looked at myself as depressed, and I looked at different modalities for treating depression. But there was no doubt in my mind that I was depressed, and I was in pain. And when I was in that pain, it's a peculiar kind of pain. It's overwhelming. It fills every corner and every niche of my awareness. And not only that, stepping into it, even for a moment, is stepping into another universe of pain, a universe that has no beginning and has no end. In other words, when you're depressed, when you're in the depression, you can't really remember when you weren't depressed, when this pain hadn't started yet.
So it's like the Mount Shasta experience that you talk about sometimes, where the clouds are covering the mountain and you think that there's no other, if everything in the whole world is covered with...
That's right.
With,
it's snowing all over the world.
Yeah.
But you can't see anything but pain when you're depressed. So, if Robin Williams did know about authentic power, and we don't know, we do know that he didn't challenge this part of his personality. There was another aspect that we've all discovered, and that is he had recently learned that he had a debilitating, the early stages of a completely debilitating disease, Parkinson's disease. It's the clinical definition is a neurodegenerative disease that begins with milder symptoms but always goes to undesirable places from the point of view of someone who's attached to not going there, ending in dementia and death, and along the way, including the reduced and then entirely limited use of your body. So what did that diagnosis activate in Robin? Well, if I can imagine that it activated a frightened part of his personality like it might activate in me before I had the awareness to challenge it, to look at it as a frightened part of my personality, that might be something very serious that I would see as meaningless. So,
I didn't understand that.
In other words, if I look at my experiences now,
uh-huh.
I strive to look at them all as meaningful.
Right.
Even something like ALS, which a friend of ours passed on with a few years ago, or Parkinson's disease,
mm-hmm.
or cancer, or AIDS, or a heart attack. Before I knew about authentic power, before I was using multisensory perception consciously, I would have thought they were all experiences of horrible luck, bad fortune, misfortune, the worst kind.
So you can only see it from a five-sensory point of view.
I could only see it from a five-sensory point of view. So it appears as though it's possible that, and we should consider the possibility that Robin didn't know about authentic power. Now, that doesn't mean that that's because he didn't read The Seat of the Soul. People know intuitively about authentic power as they become multisensory. The Seat of the Soul is helpful to them because they recognize in it what they already know. And it helps them apply what they already know, especially when they don't want to, and that means when frightened parts of their personality are active and don't want to be challenged. So now we come to something that we can talk about with more certainty, and that is your experience
mm-hmm.
and my experience.
Mm-hmm.
What was your experience of Robin Williams when his personality was in the Earth School, before the soul that was Robin Williams, our fellow student, went home? Did you think about him as a soul? Or were you focused on his personality, on the brilliance of it, the zany wit of it, the awesome accuracy of what he poked fun at? Were you looking only at his sensitivity as an actor who could play roles as delicate as the inwardly moving psychologist in Good Will Hunting who saw in Matt the character of Matt Damon someone who reflected himself and through that connection was able to assist this young man? Could you see only his sensitivity as an actor in movies such as The Dead Poets Society?
Patch Adams.
And Patch Adams, which was a more sentimental movie. So his personality was impactful and large. Impactful because of the nature of it, the good nature of his heart. Well, everyone's heart is good natured. But Robin seemed to be influenced and guided by it continually over his many years as a very public person. So did you look at all of this and at the same time look at this personality as a soul like you, a soul who is journeying through the Earth School with challenges, aspirations, fears, and joy, with potential calling to this personality and experimenting with how to bring that full potential into being?
Mm-hmm.
If not, why not? Did you forget that even a superstar is a soul? Did you forget that a superstar is an image? That what most people think of as a superstar is someone that they put on a pedestal. It could be an athlete, it could be a performing artist, but they don't think of that person as a soul,
mm-hmm.
and specifically as a personality of that soul, learning in the Earth School and contributing to the evolution of its own soul when it acts on love, and especially when it acts in love consciously as a challenge to fear. Do you do that? Well, the answer is sometimes. And as you practice, as you develop emotional awareness and responsible choice, you do it more often. And eventually the time will come when you'll see clearly that every moment of fear is, you'll see it as a mar, or a, that's not the right word, but as a kind of energy that taints the energy of love that is you, and prevents you from sharing that with others, and prevents you yourself from experiencing it. And for that reason, you begin to challenge frightened parts of your personality more frequently. For that reason, you begin to seek them out to challenge them. Not that you make yourself jealous or angry or craving sex or a drink or attention or money, but that you strive to recognize the frightened parts of your personality immediately so that you can challenge them, so that you can live the life that you yourself desire to live.
Yeah, I think for me, beloved, I really, when I thought about my first reaction was a frightened part that came up, but I realized right away this was a beautiful soul who had talents, and I really appreciated Robin and his humor and his acting and the way he was. But I also knew that he had issues with addiction, because we had heard that, and also with depression and, I guess, anxiety.
And anxiety, that was something that tormented him.
Yeah, and so, but the thing about that is, what I felt was such a gratitude that I understand that addiction is a frightened part of the personality, and that so is depression, and so is anxiety. I know that, and I know that I can challenge that in me. If it's in me, I can challenge that, and any frightened part, if I can recognize it, if I can become aware of it, that I can actually challenge it and not act on it. And I know that most people and many people in the world do not know that, and I don't know that Robin knew that. And it made me even more clear about how grateful I am that I can share this with people, that I can share about frightened parts for people to recognize their own frightened parts and their loving parts, and to act from their loving parts and to challenge their frightened parts. And that's not... The frightened parts of their personality are not who they are. And I just feel grateful to be able to do that and to remind you and share with you. And I know that many of you know this, and some of you may just be recognizing that that's true for you. And so I feel such gratitude to be able to share that, beloved, because even more, it just has inspired me to want to support even more, for me to challenge my own frightened parts, and for me to share with people about that if they're open and want to learn about that. So I'm really grateful about that.
Our intention during this gathering has been to see what we can learn about ourselves, mm-hmm. as we look at the life of Robin Williams with as much clarity and compassion as we can, using the higher order of logic and understanding that originates in the heart.
Mm.
And as we do that, we won't stop with this session. We'll continue to do that, or at least Linda and I will. And as we do that, And if we are successful in seeing clearly about what we can learn about ourselves with clarity and with compassion, as we look with clarity and compassion at the life of another, then we begin to see ourselves with more clarity and compassion. For example, does it still surprise a part of your personality that someone who lives what seemed to be such a charmed and perfect life could be tormented by anxiety, could enter the depths of depression, the very depths of them, and in the depths of that fear, end his own life? Does it surprise you that someone so bold, so rash, so gutsy, so uninhibited in his humor about the world could be so tender and sensitive that he could play exquisitely delicate roles? No one can play, no actor can play a role as delicate and fine as some of those that Robin Williams did without being able to experience that delicacy and appreciation of different emotions and what another person is going through, in this case a character that he's bringing to life. If you can recognize all of this in an actor, in another person, in a neighbor, in your partner, then you can recognize it in yourself. And if you can have compassion for the power of the potential of the life of another and how challenging it is to bring that potential fully into being, then you can have compassion for yourself as you see the power of the potential in your life and you realize again and again through your emotional awareness and striving to make responsible choices how difficult it can be to bring that potential into being. Which means in you, which means therefore to bring it into the collective consciousness. That's what we're here for.
Right.
That's why we have a life. To decide how we're going to use it. And as we become multisensory, we begin to see that the life that we have is not a single monolithic thing, but many aspects of the personality that is I, that is you, that is we, the personalities that are we, and then decide which aspects of those personalities we will act on. And as our compassion increases, as our love increases, we learn more and more the rewards of that compassion. One of those rewards is freedom from judging. Freedom from judging others. So can we appreciate Robin Williams as the soul that came to be with us for a while, adapting the personality that it did? Can we love the soul as well as the personality? If we can do that, if we can see the soul and the difference between the soul and its personality, can you do that with someone who's not a superstar? If you can do that, and you can, can you do that with someone that you just know as an acquaintance? If you can do that, and you can you do that with someone who has hurt you intentionally? Who is brutal.
Or has been brutal to others.
Or is brutal to others.
Yeah.
And recognize the same thing in that person. The same dynamic. A soul incarnate into a personality. With the opportunity to experience the very things in the form of frightened aspects of itself that the soul seeks to heal mm-hmm. through that incarnation. If you were someone who has been tortured in your life, most of us are privileged in that way, but most of the human species experiences brutality that we don't usually imagine in intimate and personal ways. Can you, if you are one of those people, apply this same perception of soul, personality, earth school, evolution, and power authentic in your life, no matter where you are, what you're doing, what you're experiencing, or who you're with? That's where we're going.
Yes.
It's a remarkable destination. And now and then, we're there. We not only glimpse it, we stand there for a moment. And then we go back to creating it, to stabilizing that, until our lives become expressions of love, of harmony and cooperation and sharing and reverence for life. So much of that is what Robin Williams chose to share in his professional life, and we're presuming with the people that he was close to. So can we do that as well, without idealizing him or anyone else, and without vilifying or demonizing anyone else?
Mm-hmm.
If so, then we can do that without idealizing parts of ourselves that we think we ought to be. That's a frightened part. And demonizing or villainizing parts of ourselves that we think we ought not to be.
Mm-hmm.
Those are also frightened parts.
Because if I do that, then I can't change them.
You cannot change them.
If I feel that way.
No. But you can recognize that you're feeling that way.
Yes.
And identify it, even if it's only intellectually, as a part of your personality, a part of this aspect of you, this personality, this energy tool of your soul that's journeying through the Earth School, and challenge it. And if you can't move beyond its control immediately, then challenge it in any way that you can.
Mm-hmm.
Use the emergency blessing that we've spoken about. Think of someone you love. Think of giving. Think of caring. Even if you're only imagining it, the imagination in that moment is the challenge to the part of your personality that can't imagine it, that can't imagine loving or caring or patience.
Sure.
That's a joy to be with you again in the Life School.
Absolutely. And we look forward now to joining you on the call so we can talk about these things. So we'll be joining you in just a couple of minutes, and we're really looking forward to it.
So join us now. Use your call-in information. We'll give you about a minute and a half or two.